It's definitely been a process for me, but those are some of the earliest days that I remember when Jesus became Lord of my life and I started following him instead of just subscribing to him. Much of my early years, I looked at God and Jesus as like, oh, well, this is, if you want to be a good person, you should do these good deeds and you should follow this good dude.
Welcome to Stories of His Glory, a podcast where coaches, athletes, and partners of FCA share powerful stories of how Jesus Christ is transforming lives through the world of sports. Each episode, you'll hear real stories of people who've experienced the life-changing love of Jesus, stories that will encourage, challenge, and inspire you to see how God is moving in and through the world of sports and each of our lives. Stories of His Glory podcast is grateful to Copper Dog Waffles and Coffee for their support of FCA and youth athletics. Copper Dog is located on historic Main Street in Mandan and has the best gourmet waffles and custom coffee drinks. When you go, try my favorite, the Rookie, and definitely try pairing it with one of their amazing coffees. Stop in today for a unique experience, something unlike anything else you'll see in North Dakota. Sweet or savory, there's something for everyone at Copper Dog in Mandan. Welcome to today's episode of Stories of His Glory. I'm your host, Ron Jungling, and today I have the privilege of sitting down with local basketball coach and full-time officer in the North Dakota Army National Guard, Jacob Sommerfeld. Jacob, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited about our conversation today and excited to get into this.
Awesome. So am I.
As a basketball coach, you've coached for a little while, and we'll get to that. When you're in the winter, you're in basketball season, walk into a gym on game day. There's an atmosphere, like, what is your first? You're like, oh, today's game day.
I gotta say it has to do with the scoreboard and that warm-up time. It doesn't matter if there's, you know, 18 minutes left before tip-off or there's 35 minutes left before tip-off. That countdown leading up to tip-off just gives me that calm before the commotion, per se. I absolutely love it. I can see the players doing their mental games. I can see the warm-ups happening and the sweat starting to approach their foreheads, right? You know, they come in cold and they get ready and they get all the emotions going. And I absolutely love it. I really feel the environment rise to the occasion for tip-off. And that's just so much fun for me.
Yeah, that's cool. Think of the, you know, there's a lot of like ritual built into that and routine. With, hey, I got to do this. Did you have any, as an athlete, as a basketball player, do you have any pregame routines?
Not so much. I don't find myself to be superstitious as far as like special rituals, but I do find that now as a coach, I have found my routines and what works for me right now. My, oddly enough, it's popcorn and pop.
Okay.
I just go to the concession stand right before it's during the JV game per se, and I'm prepping myself for the varsity, and I just grab myself $2 popcorn and a $2 pop, and I am in my happy place right now.
Yeah. There's something real to that as a coach, right?
Yeah.
Like my players would make fun of me. We had a state run for American Legion Baseball in 2011. And my thing was eating as a team at the same place, the same amount of hours before the game. And so over the course of like 5 days, we ate at Subway 3 hours and 15 minutes before the game. It didn't matter. I mean, one day we were there at 7:45 in the morning.
Yep.
Day before we were there at 6 o'clock at night. So I get it. It happens.
It's psyche. Sure. You know, it's funny how our minds work and prepare ourselves for the situation. But honestly, just that anticipatory moment of like, you know, you got to get yourself ready. And how does that look and feel for each person is so different. So different.
Yeah. And like you said, it changes as time goes on. So take us back. This is a podcast where we sit down with people and talk about sports and Jesus. Take us back on the sports side of things. What got you involved in sports early?
I honestly remember as far back as I can go playing Madden NFL on the PlayStation or PlayStation 2 for those of you who have history books out there and can remember these things. I loved playing Madden and I wanted to be a professional football player all the way until I was like in middle school where that suddenly came to a halt as far as like, maybe this isn't really cut out for me. But then my passion switched from football to basketball slowly but surely. And I think I just fell in love with the game of basketball because it was just so fun and lighthearted. And there's five players, there's not 11. And each player can find its own role on a team very easily, very quickly. And some way, somehow, I got super lucky with the traits of solid defense, of hard work. Mm-hmm. That's really what got me spots on a lot of teams. It was not my shooting. It was not my stellar ball handling whatsoever. Most of my offensive skills found me on the bench, which is fine and dandy. I knew my role, but when it came to the love of sports, it really stemmed from playing video games and being around friends. I can go back as far as I can remember it and just find this camaraderie and companionship and shared interest with people, whether it was throwing football around or playing pig out in the front yard.
Yeah.
Or from driveway, excuse me.
Yeah. Camaraderie, companionship. That is something that sports provide. When you think about people that are hiring people, when people are coming out of college, right? Like lots of people that talk about these kinds of things, talk about how you look at, oh, they were a college athlete, they were a high school athlete, there are certain traits, and a lot of it comes from this kind of stuff. Companionship, the teamwork, the camaraderie, the working hard, the self-motivated, understanding your role.
Yep.
Like you just said, you weren't a prolific scorer, but to understand your role and how that plays into the bigger portion of the game, which really matters. You were a Bismarck kid, at least when you were in high school. Born and raised in Bismarck. And what did that look like? Because prolific scorers find the floor pretty easily.
Sure.
People that are skilled in the things that maybe don't show up on the scoreboard as much, it's not that they don't find the floor. They do find the floor. But how did that play out for you as you got older, you got middle school, high school? How did that work out for you?
In any sport, it doesn't matter if we're talking basketball or football or volleyball or whatever, every athlete will wholeheartedly tell you that the game speeds up little by little and there's big leaps along the way, right? For me, I found that varsity level here in the Bismarck area, you know, the North Dakota competitive varsity level of game was just a little too fast for me offensively. Mm-hmm. So I could hide behind my skills offensively in the lower levels, like the freshman, sophomore, JV levels, and I could be proficient at that. But the minute it came to that varsity speed, my brain could work, but my body couldn't, brain couldn't work at the same time and to make it all come together. So I was what you would call a 20-20 player. When we were up by 20 and down by 20, coach put me in. And I was okay with that because I viewed practice as play. I had so much fun as a senior who was just out there with the guys every day at practice making the team better. And I could name drop some great athletes from Century High School, Tyler Rudolph, who is now in the Minot State Hall of Fame for being one of their all-time leading scorers, you know, if not the one. I don't know the statistics, but Rob Hutchins, who ended up going playing like professional pickleball because of his athletic ability. And he went out and did college basketball, and Alex Quist, and so many great names. And these are guys that were juniors when I was a senior. So these dudes came up through the program and I was nowhere near as skilled as them, but I just loved playing with them. And that made it really easy for me to show up, practice day in and day out to make them better, ready to perform for the games. And I wholeheartedly give a lot of credit to the coaching staff to prepare me for that kind of role.
Yeah.
To say that, like, hey, you're a senior and this is your team just as much as any of those guys out on the court. So I found myself very much so taking on a coaching role from the bench, getting the underclassmen to buy in that other sophomores or other juniors who weren't getting the playing time. And I was like, hey, we got a ability to impact what's going on the court, whether it's grabbing a water bottle, whether it's making sure that somebody's ready to get in the game or they're engaged and they're seeing the out of bounds sets or whatever else. And I quickly caught on to what a coach's role looks like. And I started doing it as a player unknowingly.
Yeah.
I would say that that's a huge part of where I got my passion for coaching.
Yeah.
It was really easy for me to transfer from being a player coach as a senior to being a coach when I graduated right out of high school.
Yeah.
So that was really fun.
Yeah. That's gold right there. In the sports world, everybody, kind of to go back to something you said and then pull into it, what you just talked about, everybody realizes at some point that there's an end, right? Mm-hmm. It might be an end we choose. It might be an end that an injury chooses for us
Sure.
or something like that. Yep. It might be that somebody says you're not good enough anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's always an end. But for you to get to that point and to see, even though your minutes on the court aren't going to be the prime minutes, to understand that you still have a role.
Yeah, because it's a culture. I look at different teams that I've been a part of, and this goes back to elementary days when I was in sixth grade basketball and we had the most chill basketball coach, but we went undefeated. How did we make it happen? I don't know. But I mean, it was Parks and Rec and we loved it and it was having fun and we had a couple good group guys. But then I look at the most elite teams that I've been a part of, even in the military. I look at the group of guys that I went through officer candidate school with and how we managed to get through it the way we did. I don't know, but we had fun and we had a good group of guys. But it's a culture, right? Like when everybody's willing to buy in and do things together, then it doesn't matter what your role is. If you have the culture of this is a team mentality, we're doing this together, it makes it so much better for everybody else and makes that transition really easy for when a person says, hey, you're not the leader today.
Yeah.
When you're not the leading scorer today, somebody else got to step up and we're all in it together. It's a total different mentality.
Yeah. That's super good. Super good. To think about just the word that came to mind for me was servant. I mean, it is the definition. People would make an argument that the only type of leadership should be servant leadership. That's just implicit in the word leadership. But to see that from you in high school, then to also know that you've served in the military and that's, you know, really how your heart beats. How'd the military become part of your life?
Honestly, I wanted free college, and I'm not shy to say that. I enlisted right as I was about to graduate from high school, and I had no plan to pay for my college. I didn't really make any arrangements or really figure it out. My parents, although very blessed, you know, I grew up middle class, and I'm very thankful for all the things that I've been given, but we weren't planning for that. You know, my parents and I weren't making arrangements to pay for college. So then when I found out about the military was going to pay for my college, I started entertaining that idea. And I enlisted for a very short term enlistment to try to get me through college, only to find out that I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, so much of those characteristics of sports really transfers over into military values, teamwork, self-service, loyalty, duty, like everybody's got to do their part. And it just really, I found it as though I fit in with that new camaraderie. I traded in my jersey for a uniform, really, if you think about it. But it's still the same team mentality.
Yeah, that's really cool. Podcast about Jesus and sports. We talked a little bit about sports and we'll come back to it and talk more about coaching and stuff like that. So I've been going to church for all of my life, but in that time, there have been moments when Jesus got bigger to me. How about for you?
So I remember growing up, our family was the relatively traditional CNE Christians, Christmas and Easter. And I'm very confident to say that I have family members who are believers, but I feel as though some may not know Jesus as big as I look at him as. That moment for me really changed when I started getting discipled from Jordan Williams post high school. He was one of my basketball coaches going through Century. And then he invited me to a coach's Bible study. And we started digging into the gospel and digging deeper into what it means to be a disciple and be a follower of Christ. And what does that look and feel like? So I started getting convicted a lot of my sins as I was learning. And I say convicted because it's not condemnation. Jesus loves us and God loves us. And I have experienced so much of that love in my life that where as I've gone and I've matured, those convictions have only just made me feel his joy even more once I respond in a humble servant type way. It's definitely been a process for me, but those are some of the earliest days that I remember when Jesus became Lord of my life and I started following him instead of just subscribing to him. Much of my early years, I looked at God and Jesus as like, oh, well, this is, if you want to be a good person, you should do these good deeds and you should follow this good dude. But what did that follow look like? It wasn't picking up the cross. It wasn't like giving my whole life over to him in order to figure out what he can give to me. That's totally different for when he became Lord of my life.
Yeah. The head knowledge, or Jesus as this good moral teacher, somebody to follow around. He's, you know, a sage or something like that, versus like, he wants your heart. Like you said, pick up your cross daily, like be willing to do what he did, to do some of the things that you were already like for the world doing as a servant. When you are showing up every single day, knowing that, man, I'm not going to get on the court, but I don't care. I'm going to serve my team during games. I'm going to work hard. Practice is play. All of those things are great. And it's actually a really cool picture of the gospel, but you didn't maybe completely understand it at the time. Like those are the kinds of things that Jesus wants us to do and calls for us to do, is to put others first and to sacrifice ourselves for other people. But then to hear it in a coach's Bible study is super great.
It's relatable. One of the greatest compliments I've ever received was from a former athlete who I sat down with less than a year ago, and I was explaining to him about how awesome it is right now. I am so blessed and thankful to be in a situation where I'm coaching currently as an assistant coach at Shiloh underneath Jordan Williams, and we are in a position where we can speak the gospel in the context of sports. Whereas my earliest coaching days, I was in a public school system where I was teaching strong characteristics and strong values using biblical concepts, but not incorporating the gospel into that. Like, as you're talking here, much of my upbringing had strong values. Much of my core work ethic and things are very biblical at its core, just may not realize it. And this athlete, I was explaining to him about how, like, it's so nice that I get to do this, right? And he's like, you did that with me in that public school setting just by the way you walked and talked. And I was like, man, it gives me chills even just saying that out loud, right? Like, that I had no idea that I was discipling these young men, to now when I get to sit down with him and have coffee and I see him mature in his walk and I've been able to like talk with him about things in the gospel. He's like, I saw the gospel through you for the first time, and you never once mentioned Jesus to me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's so cool. That's so amazing.
Totally. And that's the heart of FCA. The heart of discipleship is in part that your witness points people to Christ. Even if you don't talk explicitly about Jesus, even if you're not teaching, well, this is what Jesus said, but in how you live, that's the fruit.
Yeah.
That's taught about all throughout the New Testament.
For sure.
You will know me by your fruit. You know, I will know you by your fruit. That's really powerful. So take us into a little bit. You have Jordan as a coach and an excellent coaching staff and all kinds of success in that century program. There's a strong tradition of success. You have Jordan as a coach. Jordan invites you in to a coach's Bible study where you really engaging in the Bible in a new way for the first time. And you are also in the military and you're getting this opportunity to coach. And what was it that really like maybe removed the scales from your eyes, or really like illuminated Jesus in a new way? Do you remember?
I just remember how, to answer your question in a different manner, that my sinful tendencies were revealed. And I, as an adult, can look back and have the retrospective that much of my media, whether it's TV shows or songs or whatever I was inputting in my life, was not of the Spirit. It was not of good and pure intentions. And I could all of a sudden really relate with some of these mainstream media characters who are anti-protagonists. For those of you or anybody who's seen Breaking Bad and Walter White, where he's this high school chemist teacher who decides to start selling drugs. And it's not the most interesting. He's an interesting character, but I started relating with him where I'm like, you know, he's trying to do good, but he has this bad side of him. And for me, that bad side was this secret sin of pornography and this bad side of sin of like, even as I've grown up and I've tried to address some of these things, I've openly probably abused alcohol once or twice, or more than once or twice, excuse me. I don't want to humble that. I want to be very open and honest. I need to be 100% rigorous honesty when it comes to my sin. And what revealed me to that was how many times throughout scripture in that conviction, as far as like having a pure heart, bringing goodness into your world, bringing goodness into this. I felt so much shame and guilt. And even though I felt as though my life looked fruitful, I didn't feel that. And since following Christ as Him as my Lord and having good people around me, such as Jordan, or I have some other mentors through the military and things who are believers. And it's been fantastic to be open and honest with them about this and say that, like, this walk is hard. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. And sometimes willing to acknowledge that putting goodness into our life may not always feel good in the moment. Because if we wanted the feel-good moments, we would sin all the time. I heard a pastor a while ago who, like, jokingly said that if you ain't sinning, you ain't doing it right. Or if you don't enjoy sin, you're probably not doing it right. There's a little bit of a temptation. There's a lot of a temptation there to want to sin because it's a feel good in the moment.
Yeah.
But it has no everlasting worth. And I think that some of those revelations for me have come over different moments in my life. But honestly, just like recognizing and being enlightened by my own convictions has given me a whole different transformation in how I view the world.
Stories of His Glory is brought to you by North Dakota Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Across North Dakota, FCA is on the ground in weight rooms, huddles, and classrooms, building up bold leaders of faith through sports and scripture. Whether it's a student athlete discovering Jesus for the first time, or a coach finding strength in community, lives are being changed every season at FCA. Want to be a part of the movement? Visit fcand.org to get involved or support the mission. Now, let's get back to the story.
The world around me.
A lot of things that you just shared, I think, to go back to the, you will have troubles, right? Like Jesus said that in John 16. I mean, just, you will have troubles in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's a truth that is so rich and so deep, and something that as a follower of Christ, like, we can rely on that. Like, Jesus took care of it on the cross. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have difficulties. It doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. That is just not on this side of heaven. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But He has overcome it. It doesn't mean that we also, like, love it and desire it and seek it. That's not the heart that God has for us. But Jesus has overcome it. And I think that's really cool when you kind of share that portion of your story and also how it started. Like, you mentioned it a couple of times, like, the people that are around you really matter. And having the right people in your life to hold you accountable, but to encourage you, to walk with you, and to have that team that builds into your life.
Yeah, I can look back at so many different people who were great for the season of my life that I was in, but I really wholeheartedly give a lot of credit to my wife. I love her and adore her, but she has been by my side. There are moments when I feel like she's leading me in a very gracious manner, and there's moments where I feel like I'm leading her in a gracious manner, right? But ultimately, we're the team mentality, and that's awesome. I love that I have a partner in life who is going to be by my side, and I can look to her for that.
Absolutely. That is so critical. And because sometimes I think of Moses and when he's holding his hands up and then Aaron has to support him. That is so powerful. Sometimes we're able to be the leader and do it. And sometimes we need somebody, we need our wife in particular to be like, hey, we got this.
Yeah.
Together, we got this.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is achievable. Like, we set these goals. We're going to hold each other to the standard because we care about the end results. It doesn't matter if it's the challenge of having kids or the challenge of a crazy work schedule that's like, she feels a calling to do nursing education and she's incredibly good at it. Like, she's out here in the Bismarck Mandan community helping these up and coming nurses And it's just really fun to hear what's happening in her life, but also like then I get to be that encouragement to her to be like, hey, yeah. I know you don't want to stay up in grade, but like, I love that you're doing that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So you've been walking with Christ for a little while now. What does, and you talked about the power of that Bible study with Jordan. What does that look like in your life today, as far as people in your life that are helping you to see Jesus and grow in your faith, and also the people that you're helping to grow in their faith?
Yeah. So I attend Evangel here in Bismarck, and I've got a few rocks from that church that I really leaned on over the years, and I stay in touch with Justin Huber being one of them. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's fantastic. The Happip family, who has been really supportive of us. My wife and I were foster family, or we have now adopted a child. And so the Lily Initiative through that church has been just an absolute saving grace for us in that support system and an outlet. Some people who can relate to us. I also have, like I mentioned, military people who it's just like, once I know that they're a believer too, it's so much easier and laid back to have workplace ministry, because I can openly talk about Christ with another Christian in uniform and not have to feel as though I'm at a gray area where I'm wearing a U.S. Army on my chest, but in my heart, like, my Lord is Jesus. And to know that I'm serving in a military is an occupation, but to be serving, like you said earlier, a servant leader in any role, it's really cool to relate with other people like that in that situation or that context. So I have a few different podcasts and things that I like to listen to as well. I've definitely been in the mindset lately that whatever, I addressed this earlier, but the media, the social media, the things that I look at, the things that I listen to, I attribute a lot of that to my mentality right now. I've got great people, great support system, but if I choose to put garbage in, I'm going to get garbage out.
For sure.
So I'm very critical of what my social media feed looks like. Some people use TikTok. I use Facebook Shorts just because, it's a brain dump for a few minutes at a time here and there, and it's fun. But I'm looking at that content and making sure that it's faithful to God, and it's going to be worshiping worthy of recognizing this amazing God that we have. Yeah. So I've definitely changed my algorithm over the past decade or so, just to try to gear towards that, towards faithfulship, and
for sure,
and realize that, like it or not, our phones are discipling us too.
Yeah, absolutely. If we don't think we're getting discipled, we're getting discipled.
Yeah,
right. Everybody is getting discipled by something. Mm-hmm. So, So, how have you seen coaching, like kind of what light have you seen coaching through as you've been on this journey? It sounds like you were coaching, you got invited to this coaching Bible study, your faith has grown, and now you're a decade into this. How has your view of coaching maybe morphed? Maybe it's the same, but it's probably morphed a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Over time. Yeah, I can address the fact that we were talking briefly about, I started coaching right out of high school, coming of age, college, and then coaching while I was a student going to school to become a teacher. I end up actually experiencing a huge crisis at the end of my college career, you could call it, as a student, where I failed my student teaching. And that was really, really hard for me. I went to school to become an elementary ed teacher, and I was on pace. I was hitting all the benchmarks, and I was, in my mind, doing really good in the community and the world. And I thought this was a slam dunk for me. God had other plans for me. And this was relatively early on in my walk of saying Jesus is Lord of my life. It came just days before graduation when I thought I had achieved success. When I was told by the university that, hey, listen, you missed a few benchmarks and we're not able to give you this degree because you have not met the standard. And this is probably the first time in my life where I have actually honestly failed at something that I thought I was succeeded at. So I did a lot of soul searching. They gave me three options, and they said that I didn't have to make the decision in the moment, but they were like, hey, you can go back. We can get you enrolled into student teaching next semester, and we can get you your degree, and we can get you what you need, and we can get you out in the workplace, you know? They said option two, you went to school for elementary ed and a middle school endorsement of social studies. So you've got plenty enough credits to get a university studies degree and walk away with a piece of paper at this point. I'm like, okay. Then, or option three, we can work with you on transferring all your credits to a different university if you want to pursue your education somewhere else. Like, they gave me a wide variety of options here. Like I said, did a lot of praying on it. And at that time, I had just gotten my commission in the North Dakota Army National Guard. And I, quite frankly, I love the military, but they don't care what your degree is in. It could be in underwater basket weaving, or it could be in rocket science. The military wanted me to have a four-year degree. And I was like, I need that right now. So I needed the here and now. So I went with the university studies degree. And quite frankly, I just needed more time to discern if teaching was meant for me, or, you know, whatever season of life that looked like. So I still stayed very involved in the coaching world as I went through all this. And then I started pursuing other full-time opportunities, one of them, which being the North Dakota Army National Guard. And I had applied for half a dozen jobs before I finally landed one with them. And I'm so thankful that I did it when I did, because it'd been a fantastic employer for me in so many ways. They train me as a leader. They train me as a person. They care about me. They give my family all that I need when it comes to the insurance and all the things that you would hope for from an employer. But to that point, they also really stress that work-life balance. You know, like, you are a soldier, but we want to take care of you. That's been super awesome for me in a lot of ways. And I would have never explored that had God not closed that door for me. So when I got full-time employment with the military, I knew that there was a lot of travel and a lot of training involved with it, and I had to step away from coaching. So I did. I've been in contact with Jordan over the years, mostly just having lunch every few weeks together just to catch up and talk about life together. But he's always been a mentor for me, and I know he had went through a lot of different coaching applications to get before he got this head coaching job at Shiloh. And every so often, he just reminded me in the springtime, he'd be like, hey, if I ever get a coaching gig, I want you on my staff. I want you to know that. I'm like, I love it, but I'm really busy in the military. Like, this job, it demands a lot for me. And then fast forward to the moment when he actually did get the job, and I said, hey, man, I'm really busy. My wife and kids, things are really hard right now. And he said, no, I really, really want you. And I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about this. And what does this look like and feel like? And he's been super supportive and fantastic as a mentor, again, saying like that work-life balance. So I coached for 5 years, took a five-year break. Now I'm back into the mix of it. And it feels like I just stepped off right where I had walked away from. Like, I didn't miss a beat, especially when I'm working with a guy like Jordan, who was my coach.
For sure.
I worked alongside him. I've been in contact with him for years, and him and I share so many of the same values and ideas of the game. And it's just really awesome to work on his staff now. But the progression of it all and how I coach, it's been really fun to see how I coach because I'm in the military. Some people really like it and some people don't, but it's different. It's not your traditional athlete who, or not your traditional coach who walks in and says, hey, I've done this for so many years and I had success and I did these things and you should listen to me. I'm over here discipling these kids through hard work. And yes, most coaches value that, but I don't have a whole bunch of accolades to go upon to say, like, you got to believe me because I know what I'm doing. I'm like, no, you got to believe me because I believe in a process, you know, and it's abstract. And I can say safely that the people that I've met in sports and in the military, they believe and they buy into the process.
For sure.
And I feel like God has done that in my life as far as the process. It's not like I all of a sudden one day in my heart, I know that there was a day in my heart where I was saved and I was loved. That was there all from the beginning. And as far as that sanctification and that process goes, I feel like it's never ending. I feel like it's so good.
For sure. Yeah, we definitely don't just, this whole life with Christ isn't only about heaven. If that was all it was, you know, the minute you get saved, boom, right to heaven. It's about the process, like you were just saying. It's about sanctification. It's about growing in understanding of who Jesus is. Like, Where does Jesus keep getting bigger in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Where does the cross get even bigger as you realize, wow, I'm way more sinful than I ever thought I was. I thought it was bad before, and now I understand, like, man, my thoughts, like, matter. My heart matters. I can do something really good, but it was all for me.
Yep.
And, like, how do I change my heart? I don't change my heart. Jesus changes my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just think that that's really, what a great perspective to have as a coach. What a great perspective to have of our walk with Christ, that it is this process. It's this sanctification. It's this whole thing. And so your role as a coach at Shiloh is the reason that we met in the first mm-hmm. place, just a couple months ago. And it was about this like trip that's coming up, this go trip to Madagascar.
Oh,
and,
I'm so excited for that.
You know, to shed some light for listeners on a little bit of, you know, one of the areas of ministry that's growing within FCA is international ministry. It's over the last 13 years, FCA has moved from only the United States to around the world. And we have this amazing, amazing international partner in Moreno, who he's from Madagascar. He was a professional footballer. He's one of the earlier episodes of the podcast, but we get to both be on a team that gets to go to Madagascar in July and bring basketball, kind of basketball coaching and basketball camp to Madagascar. So talk a little bit about that, you know, like what drew you to it, maybe this opportunity, and then.
Yeah. So a little bit about my background and connection to this, it really stems from, again, Jordan Williams, I feel like, is at the center of a lot of this, but you can't tell the story without including him because he knows my heart for international ministry and just like discipling through workplace ministry. I had an opportunity through the military where I was going to go work in Africa for a few years. And my wife and I were both super on board and super excited about experiencing different cultures and being able to be that voice of Jesus through our actions and our words in another continent. This is going to be my first mission, which is super exciting for me. But when Jordan knew that that was something that I had interest in, and that opportunity, again, God closed that door for me. In the grand scheme of things, I look back on that and see that way he was working in my heart was really just prepping me to be like, all right, am I truly your Lord? Are you doing this for selfish reasons? I did a lot of praying and just trying to discern, you know, is this of God or is this of me? Am I being the Lord of my life, or am I letting Jesus be the Lord of my life? I think that was a really good season for my wife and I to explore that and to see that kind of play out. But ultimately, we came down to the decision that like we're going to let go and let God, you know, like if this is what it's meant to be. We're just going to open up our hands and let him take away whatever's needed to be taken away. If it's harmful for us, he's going to take it away. If he wants us to have it, he's going to give it to us. And to that point, when the opportunity came up for me to go to Madagascar and do this, I feel like there's really nothing that could be bad with this in the sense of like the ministry, the people we're working with, the way that God has been like just so revolutionary in the sports world for me, how I've been able to incorporate glorifying God through my coaching and now working with Moreno and getting a chance to meet him. I know that it's going to enrich my life. I know that I'm called to reach people speaking basketball, X's and O's.
For sure.
But ultimately, that's that game plan on the court is nothing in comparison to what's worthy of his praise. One of my great blessings in working with Jordan and his staff is I work with the underclassmen. And let's be real, anybody who's been around sports, it's kind of hard for a freshman or a sophomore to be like, yeah, this is hard charging, exciting stuff when you're also working so closely with the varsity and they get the big glory, they get the big best things. And I'm like, guys, like our goal isn't to go undefeated. Our goal, we don't even have this tournament at the end of our season to work towards to say like, yes, we've achieved success. We've achieved the pinnacle of the season of what it's supposed to look like. My goal with them all year long, and they're going to laugh if any of them hear this on the podcast, because I ask them almost on a daily, if not several times a practice. Our goal is to glorify God and have fun doing it. Like, because if our hard work and our competitive spirit comes out on that court and we're having fun doing it, people are going to see that.
Yeah.
And I hope and pray that when I show up to Madagascar and you and I get to be part of that team, and we're just going to glorify God and we're going to have fun doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you love baseball and we've talked a couple times about the differences in our experiences with sports, but you couldn't see me going on a baseball mission trip. Because when it comes to a bat and a ball, that's just, my body doesn't do it and my brain doesn't do it the same way as it does with how naturally it comes for me in basketball, which is just super cool that I have the pleasure to work alongside you and Moreno. Just getting a chance to meet him has been super, super exciting. And I feel as though it's all in favor of God. It's all in his things that are worthy of the praise and worthy of the time and the energy, because like, he feels his calling. I feel his calling. And it's like, when we come together and we know that God is at the center of it all, he's going to make waves and he's going to impact so many lives.
Yeah. We're called to be multipliers as followers of Christ. We're called to make disciples who make disciples. Just think about the conversation that Moreno had that kind of led to this whole thing. Like 2 years ago, you're sitting at the shack in Fargo at NDSU watching, I think it was Kindred Castle, Central Cass in the region championship game. And he just had looked over at Nate and was like, wow, the basketball level of basketball here is pretty wild. And he said something like, this could really make a difference in Madagascar. Basketball is a fairly popular sport in Madagascar. There's a guy actually at Minot State that plays, and he's from Madagascar, from the capital city of Antananarivo. And the thing that's most missing, and this is the why we're going, is Moreno has a heart to reach athletes, but his coaches are soccer coaches. And so they don't have the basketball coaching skills. And that's really where this came from, was this, how can we better train our coaches to then draw more athletes to then have gospel impact in an entirely new sport?
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about that and what that is going to be. I'm pumped for it. I think it's going to be a great, great experience. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be my first mission trip too. And I'm excited to be with you and with Troy and Elise and Laura as we go, and just pumped to go and see what God has for us.
Amen to that. I just know that he's going to do incredible things. And to that point, as far as equipping the coaches, I've seen several coaches over my tenure with working with different people. And it's like, you got a heart that's willing to learn. It's like the X's and O's can be taught, but to disciple and to care, that's a whole nother level of coaching.
That's what I'm probably most excited to see Moreno in his element, because that man is a disciple maker. And I think all of us are going to learn so much about disciple making from that guy as we go over. So I'm so excited. This has been great to talk and to hear your story. I know there's obviously lots more to your story, as we all have lots to our story, but thank you so much for your time today. You've been really great.
Again, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you.
Thanks again for being part of Stories of His Glory. If today's episode inspired you, take a moment to share it, and be sure to follow or subscribe so you won't miss what's coming next. Psalm 96:3 reminds us to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. The field is yours. Now go glorify Him.